Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a former loved one come back to let the living know that they were okay on the other side through a sign?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. We would absolutely love to hear from you. And of course, if you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them. Sign up to do just that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. When you do so, get your access to all of the bonus content, new stuff every single week, those EPP bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show, our archive of episodes, which is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories in history. So you get all that, $5 a month, and you help keep us on the air. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol with you, and it turns out the murder she shed really is the murder she shed, as Carol found out this weekend in an all too uncomfortable situation.
Keith. Oh, I love Keith.
Or was
Keith
it?
Morrison.
Yeah.
Or was it?
Or was it?
Okay, so check this out. So the other day, I'm outside with my pets, and my cat, my dog can go out and supervise, but not my cat. So it's like I'm here for lunch and we're walking around the yard and I got in between my two sheds because I've got the nice one and then I've got the murder shed. And in between is the most ginormous dead raccoon that had been brutally murdered. And I had seen this raccoon in the middle of the night when Buddy had to go outside. Buddy did not murder us, just so you know. Buddy is really old.
Carol did while sleepwalking.
Couldn't do that. But so I took a picture and I sent it to Tony. I'm like, oh my God, the murder she shed just lived up to its name. And it was just gruesome.
Yeah.
And I'm like horrified. Because, of course, I can't do anything with it. And so I'm like, I've got to get the neighbor kids. I'm going to pay them some money and have them come take it out of my yard. I got to deal with this. It's too sad, you know. And I felt kind of guilty. Like, somehow the raccoon decided to come in my yard. And what? I still can't figure out what murdered it.
So how fresh was the kill?
Maybe a fox. I would say I saw it within 24 hours.
So you were still in the position where you could have made a delicious stew if you wanted to.
If only I wasn't vegetarian. You know me. That sounds like something they'd have done in the Beverly Hills.
100%. Make you a nice raccoon stew there in Kansas.
I love it when it sits outside for a little bit.
It ages the meat and makes it a little more tender and tasty.
Then I can make me some raccoon jerky. Aw. I don't even remember how they talked in the Beverly Hillbillies. But anyways, so the next day was Saturday, this past Saturday, and I wasn't feeling very good. I got the second vaccine shot. I'm kind of walking around my yard and getting some fresh air, following my cat. And so goes back by the murder she should, and I'm like, I don't even want to look. And something had come and dragged it all the way back by the fence, like 6-8 feet, and it's half of what it was the day before.
That's good eats.
Something's gone in there and finished it up. But so now I'm like, well, you know, I think we're done with this stinking part.
Yeah, eventually you'll just have a bunch of bones for the dogs.
So what I'm thinking is I just don't know if I can bring myself to do it, but I have some stones in my backyard, some pretty good sized ones, and I might just move them and give them a little burial site.
Oh, you mean start your own pet cemetery?
Because I found a dead robin on my back doorstep.
Oh, God.
Which really terrified me. So then I didn't know what to do with it. I buried it underneath a tree. So now I've got two dead animals just this year in my backyard.
You got to come hang out on the farm. You'll get a dead animal every other day.
I don't. I live in town.
Just walk around. Have another one die.
I have a 6-inch privacy fence. 6-inch. 6-foot privacy fence. Like, I don't know how shit's getting in here.
I had, honestly, the only thing I've had die here was some chickens because they were too small to be mingling with the other chickens. And, but that was really weird because I would go in there and I'd find like a dead chicken and those chickens, they're bitches. they mean. Oh, very, very mean. I mean, they are just like, if you're not part of their little, I get, you know, where pecking order comes in, but they like, oh my God, like the dead chicken looked like it was run over. And I don't know how they accomplished this of making the chicken look like it was run over, or if when they die, like all the air just leaves their body and they just kind of naturally get flat.
I don't think they deflate.
Do they deflate? But,
Do you think a fox had gotten in your hen house?
No.
Which also sounds like something off the Beverly Hills.
Not at all. No, because there's nothing that could get in there.
Okay.
But no, these chickens, it's like chicken murder. And they were very violent. I mean, it's like, you know, Oz in there, like the prison show from HBO. There's some dark shit going on in that chicken coop if you're the wrong chicken. But now I think they've killed off everyone they want to kill off. And now it's just these six that hang out and they hate the world together. But
oh my God, the poor chicken, like they're looking at it funny. It's like, look at old Betty.
Yeah.
It's like, Betty's like, not tonight. I'll be good.
Yeah. It's,
and I know it's all nature and
sure.
That's life and I get it, but. You know, I don't even eat meat, let alone when I have dead raccoons in my yard.
Missed opportunity. You could have stewed that shit up and won a chili cook-off.
Dang.
I know. All the things, you know, those moments in life that you're like, if I only could do that over again.
Crazy thing, like, I texted you immediately.
Yeah.
Did you tell me that then? No.
Well, I was assuming because it looked pretty eaten up. I was assuming like it had been dead for a while. Quite honest,
no, it was pretty fresh.
Yeah, no, because I at first I'm like, did Carol kill somebody out in her backyard? Because it's like the upper rib and torso. I'm thinking, oh, this could be a weird text. Carol, it's not okay to do that. And now I'm
because I think I just texted you the picture and said, well, the murder she said lived up to its name.
That's all you said.
I didn't
said.
Give any more.
There was like, no context.
It's a raccoon.
No context. Just
it I can lived, tell by the tail.
And there's I couldn't tell. I mean, it was like I'd have to like really zoom it in. But it was like at first I was like, OK, there's a corpse and she's talking about the murder she shed. And she took that vaccine this weekend. Oh, shit. She's turning into a zombie. But no.
Hey, but I'm all vaccinated.
You're good. You're good.
So there's that. But, you know, it was one of those things like I sent the picture to you, but then I deleted it. I didn't even want anybody else to see it.
I didn't want to keep that there.
And the other thing is when you take pictures on your phone, like it'll sync up like with your Amazon photos.
Yeah.
sync up to your phone or to your TV.
Yeah.
And last thing I want to do is be sitting there and see that corpse come up. So I had to go in. And delete it off Amazon Photos, too.
Yeah. It's like memories of that day. That'd be great.
You know, you take like a really bad picture.
Sure.
And then you have friends over and the TV just kind of goes into that mode.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I've got that picture up right now. So just a word to the wise. Go through your Amazon Photos. Because that's where it's pulling from.
Otherwise, it ain't going to be pretty.
Mom's going to be embarrassed.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get our first letter. It says, hello, I've been a listener for the past few years now. My husband introduced me to your show. We both listen while we're at work. Then at home, we talk about the shows. So here is my story. I reconnected with a childhood friend through Facebook back in 2008, who we'll call D. We hung out a few times, but always kept our relationship just friends. He became a really good friend and someone I could talk to. A few years later, he moved out of state, and thanks to social media, we were able to keep in contact. We both met people and went into serious relationships. Years later, I noticed he became an angry, bitter person. His posts became more negative. One day he posted a status. I don't even remember what it was about, but I commented on it and he snapped at me with his reply. I thought, okay, you're just a negative person now. I don't need this kind of friend in my life. Ended up unfriending him. Sounds childish, but I was trying to keep my social media positive. I guess after that, he started talking about me on Facebook. I found it through a mutual friend. Years passed. We moved on from it. In 2018, I found out he passed away. To this day, I'm still not sure I'm not sure how he died, but he died in his sleep. I did hear he became a heavy drinker. It did make me sad, and I was in shock. A few months after his death, I had a dream. I was walking down a street, and my son was in an apartment window yelling out to me that D was looking for me. I looked at my son with a look like, how, when he's gone? I can only remember bits and pieces of my dreams, but later in that dream, I was lying down and D appeared, and he kept telling me he was sorry. I told him I was sorry too, and we both just cried. This made me feel a lot better. I hope he is at peace now and no angrier or more negative. Not too long ago, he appeared in my dream again. I wish I could remember what it was about, though. I have a lot more stories to tell, stories that involve my 5-year-old daughter and what she sees in our house. This is my first time writing to your show. Thanks for the stories and for making work so much better, especially when I'm an essential employee and sometimes in the office alone, so I think I'm alone. If you do read my story, I appreciate it, and thank you. Interesting story of kind of someone coming back and trying to make peace.
Oh, and I think that's a gift. Yeah. Anytime that happens, like, especially, you know, in a situation where you're estranged from someone or, you know, someone that, I mean, you know, someone who you were really close with at one point in your life. Mm-hmm. And then for whatever reason, maybe you got mad at that person. But when you're kind of able to get that closure, mm-hmm. that's a gift.
Yeah.
Because your whole life you live with that. Because like, if only, if only, if only. But to get that feeling of knowing mm-hmm. that it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's incredible. Yeah. I love hearing those stories. I mean, obviously somebody died, but but you know what I mean? Because it gives you some kind of hope.
Sure.
That things could be better.
Yeah. And that thing,
especially these days when everything is really, really, really dark.
Yeah. No, it totally does. It gives that feel, and it kind of gives you some hope, you know, when things, because I mean, there's so much of, I'm going to say, you know, in the last year or so, people who very suddenly lost people they care about. And in many cases, there was no way to ever have that goodbye, that proper goodbye, you know, maybe over the phone or Skype.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. But so much of it was like somebody's diagnosed. Oh my God, they're in the hospital and they're dead and you can't go and visit and you couldn't be there by their side. So I think there's a lot of unfinished business stuff that is going to be kind of coming to light over the next handful of years with just everything that we've gone through mentally, emotionally, and then physically with loved ones passing. I think there'll be a lot of that.
Yeah.
More than normal, you know, and that always exists, but I think there's just so much that was just so.
Yeah. Don't you imagine in the next few months, we'll hear more stories like that?
Yeah. We're going to hear stories about this forever, where it's going to be in, you know, so-and-so had passed, you know, during, you know, COVID. It's like when we used to talk about 9/11, but obviously you would have to be there for 9/11. But this is, you know, there's no limits to this. And, I think almost everyone has been affected by it some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to this letter. It says, hey guys, now I really do not know how to explain or even frame the story. It was paranormal to be certain, and sure, it was not the only experience I have had, but it is one that even to this day, I have a hard time rationalizing, even as a paranormal investigator myself. There's two parts to this story, as both events happened within days of each other. And though they were not related, far as I could tell, they were worth mentioning. Back in my youth, my parents would take regular vacations to Alabama, where my grandparents owned this old antebellum home. In case you were curious, Here's a picture of the home, and they just sent me a link to it. The house itself was very haunted, but the stories I must share really do not center around it. Not specifically, at least. One trip back to the home, either in late fall or early spring, I remember having the first incident. It happened on this new, at the time, concrete bridge that had been built over a nearby river, maybe 4 or 5 miles from town. While we drove over it, I remember looking up from the back seat of the car while I rode. Time seemed too slow for me at that point, and I distinctly remember seeing a human skeleton draping halfway across the concrete sidewall of the bridge. The skeleton had tattered clothing on and looked like it had been out there for quite some time. I tried talking to my parents about this, but they either did not see it or could not. Eventually, I, too, kind of passed it off as just being in my mind and my mind playing tricks on me. But to this day, I still wonder. We stayed there around the mansion with my dad and mom enjoying time with the grandparents while I was left on my own devices. I'd explore the grounds of the mansion, play with my toys on the back porch, or just do things that every kid would. Problem was, it got boring fast. This was the days before cable TV being a real thing and computers or video games unheard of. One of the few things we would do to pass the time was simply going for a drive. Sounds so simple and boring now, but it was incredibly fun at the time. After having stayed with the grandparents a couple of days and the boredom has really set in, my dad and grandfather suggested we go for a drive and wanted to know if I wanted to tag along. This was always fun for me, so naturally, I agreed. We hopped into the car, took off down the many various back roads in the area, and that's where the second incident in nearly as many days happened. Some context is important here, I think. Where my grandparents lived as the crow flies was about a mile from a major railroad. Now, you could still see it across the various fields and whatnot. Every day, I would listen for the train horn as it passed over the only crossing in town and head out to watch the train from a distance. That was something, the highlight of my day. Well, I knew that in all probability, at some point, we'd have to cross the tracks, given the roads my dad usually took, so I had a hope that I get to watch a train. This day, we drove off down one of the many back roads, and before long, we came to a crossing. That's where things turned odd for me. Across the crossing, there was an incredibly old railway station, missing windows, ramshackle wooden construction with an equally old wooden boxcar parked in front of it, and an old wooden water tower nearby. The building looked like it had simply been forgotten and left to rot. I was so enamored by this building that I drew it when we got back to the house. The curious thing was no one remembered seeing it, and chalked everything up to my imagination. I did as well until many years later, curiosity getting the better of me. I just Googled Earth to try to find the old depot, but was unable to do so. I contacted the Historical Society in nearby Selma and prodded them with several questions about the area. It took some time for anyone to contact me back, but they stated that yes, one time Orville had a small wooden depot near the junction of Church and Broad Street, but the depot had been abandoned in the 40s, and burned to the ground sometime in the 60s. They sent me copies of photos. I've since lost, but the depot in its heyday, and it sent chills right up my spine. Not only was it exactly where I pictured it being, but it looked exactly like I remember seeing, though in far better condition. I've always wondered if this was something ghost-related, some time-slip-type situation, or for a moment, I saw something that was long gone. What are your thoughts on that? How does that come about?
Wow. I haven't heard anything quite like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm assuming you might have said how old he or she was, but I didn't catch that part. But, you know, I've heard of kids drawing pictures of people they see.
Sure.
So I get that. But I've always just heard of people, not like an entire train station with a train out front and a wooden water tower. Like, that's so specific.
Yeah. And why would you make that up? You know, it's like this.
And why would you go home and draw it?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Is that a time slip? I mean, and if it's a time slip, is it looking back in time or is it looking at to like a parallel universe where the thing never got torn down?
I don't know, because that doesn't totally make sense to me. It makes more sense to me that you would see what it once was, but if it burned down and it never got to the old rickety condition.
That's the other weird part. Yeah, if it never did that, then what are you seeing? You know, it,
yeah.
Or is that one of those things where it's like, you know, so many things in life, you can, you just look at the relationships that you've had and the people that are in your life, and you can just look and say, had one decision been made differently here, so many different things would have happened, or so many things would have changed. And is that that where it's, there's another, I don't know. I'm not saying that I believe that or not, but is that something like that where, you know, something would have happened, the thing never burned down, and in some parallel universe, it's still standing, you know, I don't know.
Oh no, that is deep.
It just,
and I got to spend like an hour or two processing that.
And but the thing is, if there's parallel universes and all that, just the tiniest of choices would just spider out. And then how does that all work? There's like every choice, all that, is there a parallel for everything? I don't know. It's a weird thing to think about. But 855-853.
Yeah, you got me. I got nothing on that.
No, it's just an interesting thing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's Shane. I only just recently learned about your show, and also very shortly after became an EPP member. I like hearing stories like this due to my experiences when I was growing up. I've written in a couple letters already, and I've only known about you for a few days now. I've got a story I was wanting to share that wasn't a personal experience. It was one of my, from my son when he was growing up, kind of goes along the lines of y'all talking about kids being knowing of spirits, and also kind of confirms the whole deal about the house, some houses, some properties are haunted, not maybe not just the house itself. I was at work. I heard about this from my wife at the time and her mom. I was at work when this happened. I came home from work and I heard the story. Walking through toward one of the bedrooms, and she kind of glanced off to the left to the kids' room where my son was about 3, if I remember correctly. And he was just sitting in the floor, kind of Indian style, looking up and talking to somebody, like, looked like he was just kind of talking to the upper half of the wall is what it really looked like to her. And she stopped and watched for a few seconds, just kind of surprised, really. Then she asked him, "Who are you talking to?" And he just turned to her and said, "Lady, right here." And she just walked away and left it at that. And she mentioned it to her mom, and her mom had never heard anything about that in her house. It was her mom's house. And then they, like I said, whenever I got off work, they told me about it. And they said, they asked me what I thought, and I was like, well, kind of sounds about like the house is haunted. Her mom's like, no, the house isn't haunted. It's a new house. We had it moved in here. I was like, all right, well, what about the previous house that was on this property? Do you know anything about the property? She's like, no, not really. I was like, it kind of sounds to me like something happened here on this property. And something lingered after that house was tore down and y'all moved your house in. And they quietened down about it. We ain't never heard anything about it since. They never saw him talking to anybody after that, or if they did, they never mentioned it. Didn't want to hear my point of view, I guess. I don't know. I just thought I'd share that. and my son doesn't remember it. I asked him about it a few years back. He's 20 now, and he just doesn't remember anything about it. And doesn't know of any experiences after that. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to call in and share that with you. And look forward to listening to more episodes. Like I said, I'm a new EPP member. I'm going through all your episodes, listening, binging all of your episodes. I'm an over-the-road driver, so I got plenty of time to listen to them. All right. Appreciate it. You guys keep up the good work. Enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thanks for your call and sharing that experience with us. What's your thoughts?
I think that's super common, all of it. I think that, you know, the imaginary friends that we say kids have probably aren't just imaginary friends in their head.
Sure.
I think there's probably more to all of that. But because I think kids can see what we can't see. And then I think some people grow up and that always stays with them. But I think most people are like his son, and they don't remember them as they get older. You just remember people telling you about it. Then I also think that you could have a house, new house built on the ground where something else happened, and that present still stays there.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, you know? It's
I think everything you said is spot on.
Yeah, there's just so many layers to all that there, but very interesting, and I liked his insight on kind of looking back at what happened and giving his two cents on it. Thank you for calling in and doing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I've decided I'll finally say something on the air.
No.
What?
I know what you're going to talk about. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make that sound. Go ahead.
Me and Carol are in love and we're having a chat. No,
right. That's so creepy. Just so everyone knows this. Like, I am older than Tony, and sometimes I refer to him as I am your Aunt Carol.
And that's so, how I've always thought of her as
Tony
as
and
Aunt
I have
Carol.
A very close relationship. You're one of my best friends.
Yeah. As are you. But I've always like, it's like Aunt Carol. And yeah,
sometimes
and you are
it. Talk.
And you are Aunt Carol to my kids. So
yes.
Anyway, I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to go into great detail because a lot of it's private. But I do want to address it because I know people are probably wondering a bit. Obviously, Jen's not been on the show in many, many, many months. She will not be coming back to the show. Me and her are on good terms. We're friends. We co-parent our daughter together, but we are no longer married. I won't go in, but there was something that happened that me and Harper are here on our farm together, and we're doing well. And I see Jen many times throughout the week, and we are good. But that's where that is. I'll say this because people like to speculate. Nobody cheated on anybody or anything like that. It was just something where, you know, the two of us together realized we not going to be able to move forward. So that's where.
And that's a tough realization.
It
and
is.
It was tough for you. And Tony and I spent many nights, an hour and a half before we even started podcasting, just talking through life and decisions and options. And that's a really tough decision. And it was really hard for both of you to come to that. And I hated that for both of you.
Yeah.
I've known you longer than Jen.
Sure.
But, you know, I just, it's hard when something ends, and it's really hard.
It is. A lot of these things have taken place many, many months ago now by the time I'm saying this on the air. We are not like in the process of divorce. We are already divorced. That has already been finalized quite a while back. It's just I didn't really know when or how or when I wanted to say anything. But I just want to get it out there. I'm not going to, you know, beat a dead horse and talk about it much at all. We're moving forward and trying to be as positive as we can. And
focusing on the children.
Exactly.
I mean, that's important.
And that's the most important thing to me. And we both know that. And we both are, you know, we're co-parenting together to do the best we can there for the kids and all that. And Like I said, me and Harper are here and we're doing well. And we got plenty of animals and plenty of puppies to give her hugs whenever she needs them. And she loves doing that. But I just wanted to get that out there. And that is that. So I've had several people already reach out to me on Facebook with a lot of well wishes and positivity. And I do greatly appreciate that. So I want to say that too. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and the huge archive. We thank you for your support. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.